Like a copy of God's Word, Bible, New Testament of the Bible offered to you freely, no obligation, no cost to you. If you'd like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. God's Word, which assures us that if we receive the engrafted word, that is, believe with the heart for that which God has promised, salvation be the result. So you'd like to have a copy of God's word, peruse for yourself, meditate upon these things, who knows? Maybe, perhaps, God in His kindness, His mercy, may cause the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself to you. Without the Word of God, and of course without the help of God, then, well, it's impossible lest God reveals Himself to you. It's impossible for you to come to know Him, but to know Him and to know the One whom He has sent, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is to know eternal life. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one gladly. Place into your hands if you so wish. But of course, when we talk about salvation, the Bible makes it clear that of course is the ultimate necessity. I mean, you might look around you and you might want a quieter, reflective moment. You might ponder the question, why is it that the human race is so dysfunctional? Maybe perhaps you bring it a bit closer to home and ask yourself the question, why is it that you yourself are so dysfunctional? Well, the Bible makes it clear to us, gives us the answer that nobody else and nowhere else does. The very plainly obvious that it ought to be to you that the politicians are clueless. They don't know. They're dysfunctional themselves. The philosophies of men, well, we've had them since day one, and that don't seem to make much difference too. Science, people put a lot of stock in science these days, but that doesn't seem to make much difference either. No, you see, the Bible goes to the root of the matter. The problem is a spiritual, moral one. Man's departure from God, you see. Sin came into the world. Sin spreads to all men, you, myself included. And that's the reason why we're all so dysfunctional. But God has given us a repair plan, a restoration plan, if you like, sending His only begotten Son into the world that through Him we might be restored to God's favor, brought back to God, and that the repairing, the restoration, of our beings, spiritual body and soul, spiritual, every which way, begin to be restored, functionality, as opposed, that is, to the dysfunctionality, of a sinful lifestyle, a sinful being. So, like I say, it's all, in God's Word, God's wisdom, that everything, of course, that He has promised here in His Word, that He has spoken and spoken, of course, in holiness. I'm sure you've got it already, all the meaningless promises that your political parties make Not a shred of truth in any single one of them. They promise you the earth. They promise you just about everything you could possibly wish for. But you know and I know that none of it will come to pass. But the one thing you can guarantee, that which God has spoken will indeed come to pass. Not a single word of it will fail. And when He promises a person through faith in His Son Jesus Christ salvation, well, you can take it as a guarantee. That will be the reality. Faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, says God. But of course, when we talk about faith, talk about believing, we're talking about believing all the articles of the Christian religion. That is everything that God has spoken in His Word. When a person, you see, truly, not talking about just a mental assent, we're talking about a true living act of faith that lays hold upon what God has spoken. All the arguments have gone, all the smoke screens, you know, all the self-justification, all the false religion, false ideas and opinions of men, they're all gone, and there's a resting, there's a trusting in everything, all that God has spoken. Summed up, of course, in one of our well-known creeds is called the Apostles' Creed. Goes like this: I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Summary, if you like, you know, of what, well, the Christian religion, the Word of God, the Bible is about. The Protestant religion, I mean. The religion that brings salvation as opposed to the destruction of your world religions. The religion of God, the truth of God, the Word of God, which is to be believed for salvation. But of course, if you have any arguments at all, any problems, objections with any one of those articles of the Christian faith and religion, well, then that means you're not a Christian. Whatever else you might be, you might argue that you say your prayers every night. You might argue that you attend the church regularly. But if you do not believe, and you do not believe the articles of the faith, if you do not believe the Word of God, then you are not saved, and you are not a Christian by any stretch. A straight Christian is a man or woman who has been reborn of God. Jesus says you must be born again. There has to be, you see, enlightenment, illumination, the blindness of your mind removed. The darkness has to be shifted. Light must come. Life, the life of God in a person's soul, and the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. New creatures in Jesus Christ is how the Bible terms it. Altogether new. Everything is new, and the old has passed away. God's salvation. So my question this afternoon here in Stafford is, what dost you believe concerning, well, what the articles of our faith says concerning the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God? Well, the Bible says that that He was there in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It did not evolve. It's not the happenstance of an accident, an accidental explosion, according to the foolishness of Darwin and those who follow him, those who adhere, subscribe to his nonsense. In the beginning, God created in 6 days, six literal 24-hour periods. God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, the Bible says. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that is, moved upon the face of the waters. You see, he was involved in the creation of the universe, the making, that is, of all things. And of course, in the New Testament, the Bible, we have some more. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Questions posed to you, don't you know this? Because why? Well, because you ought to know it. You carry on in your sinful lifestyle, you carry on in your unbelief, well then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know that the unrighteous, says God, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteousness cannot. Be not deceived either by evolutionary thinking or anything else. Be not deceived by false religion, apostate religion. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's the boys who become toys for the others. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there he is again, you see, the Spirit of God. What do we believe, you see? It's important, you see, for salvation that you believe the truth that is of the revealed being of God. How can you know, how can you possibly know, describe, be able to come to a conclusion, you know, as to what God is like? If he's a spirit being, invisible, how can you know him? How can you, well, to coin the phrase, put flesh on him? Well, God himself has done that, you see. That's why he gave us his word, the Bible, because it's there, you see, you get a proper, a truthful description, not the delusions of a Muhammad or a Buddha or a Confucius. Neither, of course, any of the other cults and sects that wander your world today. God has revealed himself in Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, not three gods. One God, three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, he, the third person of the Holy Spirit, is the one that we're talking about here this afternoon. He is true, eternally, God, along with the Father and the Son. He's a person. He's a person. He was there in the beginning creating the heaven and the earth. He's involved in God's salvation. He's the one that you need to enlighten you. He's the one that you need to illuminate your mind, to take away the blindness of mind from you, to remove the darkness from your mind, from your soul, and enable you to see as you never saw before. You have to be born again of the Spirit of God. Or you're none of his, none of Christ. Father's not yours. And neither is the Son of God until the Spirit of God, so the Holy Ghost, breathes upon you the breath of life, raises you, resurrects you from the dead, from the deadness of your trespasses and sins, and breathes the breath of life into your souls. So you see, this the third person of the Holy Trinity is your need to. You see, he's the executive. You can have a plan, you know. Anybody can have a plan, but you need somebody to back it up. Somebody with power. The power to, you know, execute, to bring the plan, to make it reality. Well, God the Father did the planning. God did the planning, and the plan was to send His Son into the world to be the Savior, to rescue men and women. Those whom God has planned to save, that is. God has chosen a people, you see, out of the human race to be saved. And they will be saved. By hook or by crook. Whether you believe or not, well, you know, well, I say, maybe I could say, well, that's up to you, but no, it's not. It's not, you see. No one can come, no man can come unto me, says Jesus, unless the Father which sent me draw him. You see, it's God's choosing, not your choosing. I did not. Of course he is, madam. That's why he's angry. That's why he's angry, because he loves. Nobody, I tell you, is ever angry that doesn't love. In His love and grace, God the Father planned this salvation and elected a people from out of the human race to be saved, to come to faith in His Son Jesus Christ, sent into the world to be the Savior, to live, to die, and rise again from the dead, in order that they might be saved. But in order for the plan to be executed, well, there has to be an executive, somebody with the power, that is, to bring about, to bring to realization that which God has planned, proposed, that which God has chosen would come to pass in this world. So here you see the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, He is the one who executes the plan of God, who makes sure it's all done. And He has the power. Well, He's the one, you see, who brought the universe into being. He's the executive power that brought it about. Not Charlie Darwin's nonsense. God's Spirit, executive power, He's the one who brought the universe and everything in into being. He's the one, you can read of the mighty acts of God throughout the Bible. Noah's day, in the day of Moses, opening up the Red Sea so that God's people could be saved from their enemies. Noah's day, flooding the world, the ungodly perishing. Sodom and Gomorrah, acts, mighty acts of judgment, executed by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, you see, He's the one who brings these things about. And He's given, you see, to those who believe. Those who have been brought to life, those who have been brought to faith, given, that is, the gift of faith by the Spirit of God, and brought to faith, you see, indwelt by the Spirit of God, empowered, energized to live in a way that they never, never could live before. He's the power of God, the dynamic of God. That not the one thing that you need? Oh, you know that there ought to be change, but where'd you get the power? Where'd you get the energy to change? You know, you ought not to be drunken. You ought not to be immoral. You ought not to be unbelieving. You ought not to be idolatrous. You ought not to be unclean and filthy. You know you ought not to be. You ought to change, but for the life of you, you cannot. Try and try as you might, you fail. Cannot even keep up your own standards. Never mind God. So where does a man get the power? Well, the energy, the dynamic of God's Spirit dwelling within them. That's what Jesus means when he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Never mind do. He cannot see, he cannot understand, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. Now ye must be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. The energy, the dynamic, the power of God, the person of God indwelling you and energizing you, being your forty, your comforter, your forty, your strength, your power to enable you to do that which you could never do before. Live, that is, on the basis of God's revealed word. That's what it means to be a Christian. He's the one who brings the benefits of the gospel to us. The peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. The joy everlasting, righteousness, all the benefits that flow to us, well, as a result, well, of Jesus, the Son of God, you see, coming into the world. And by the power of the self-same Spirit, enabling him to do, to accomplish all that was given him to do. Born of the Virgin, why conceive? By whom? By the Holy Spirit of God in the Virgin's womb. Born of Mary and walked with God and lived that blameless life. For 33 years almost, and of course going to the cross and bearing the wrath of God upon himself, the sins of the world upon himself, dying and rising again from the dead, and all by the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, executing God's perfect plan. And the result is, you see, the fruit of all that Jesus taught and all that Jesus did was that the Spirit of God could be poured out upon men and women who believe, who trust, who repent, turn from their wicked ways, from their sinful living, and put their hopes and their trust, their confidence in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one who points to Jesus. He's the author of the Bible. And the Bible, well, Jesus says, these are they which testify of me. That's the job, the task, you see, of God's Spirit, the one who breathes out the Word of God. All of it, infallible, all of it breathed out by God. And so therefore, my dear friends, these are they that he uses to point to Jesus. Wherever you go in the Bible, Genesis all the way through to Revelation, in its entirety, Christ, Jesus, the one who was to come into the world, came into the world, lived and died, and rose again from the dead, in order that sinners might be saved and reconciled to God. All the fruit, my friends, of what Jesus Christ accomplished by the power of God. God the Holy Spirit, that is. the one who shines the light on Jesus. And He's the one who sanctifies. He's the one who makes holy, who makes clean by His power, you see. The person who believes, the person who trusts in Jesus. But you see, dear friends, unless you are sanctified, that is made holy, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, says Jesus. Maybe one of the reasons why you cannot see God is because of the impurity in your heart, the unbelief. Religious unbelief, albeit, but maybe that's the reason you can't see God. Plain as a pikestaff that God is, you know. None without excuse, says God, for their unbelief. That's the capital crime. That's the worst offense. That's the worst sin. That's the one sin that keeps you in all the others. And in debt to your sin. See, unbelief is the capital crime. No excuse for your unbelief. All creation declares the glory of God. You look at anything in God's creation, and it screams in your face that God is. When a child is born, before it knows anything, it knows that God is. No, dear friends, no excuse for your unbelief. There's no such a thing as an atheist on the planet. Such does not exist. You know that God is just the same, and for the same reasons that I do. But of course you don't know Him intimately. You don't know Him in a loving relationship. Salvation. Now friends, that takes the Word of God. That takes the Spirit-breathed Word of God to bring you to that place. Only He can enlighten you. Through the gospel and through the proclamation of the gospel is the means. As Jesus has commanded His followers in every age, in every day, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, huh? Because that's the means that God uses. Raising up His servants, raising up men, not women, raising up men and sending them out, equipping them by His Spirit and sending them to preach the gospel, so that through the preaching of the gospel, foolishness, folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God to the believing. So it means, you see, that God's Spirit uses to bring men and women to faith. To a real, true, active, saving faith. A faith that brings salvation. A faith. Oh, wash that filthy mouth out, mister. How disgusting. What a filthy mouth and heart you've got, eh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Huh? Reprobate. The Word of God, friends. The Word of God. The Spirit of God uses nothing but the Word of God to bring men and women to salvation. And the Word of God especially proclaimed, bringing you to an awareness, a conviction of your sin. The depth of your depravity, of your wickedness. And it's worse, believe me. Read the Bible for yourself. First three chapters of the book of Romans. It's worse than I could ever paint it for you. More than just a bad day. More than just a bout of depression. Worse than all the misery that fills the world. The very cause of it. Oh, I tell you, the depth the depth of the depravity of the human soul. There's not a crime, there's not an horrific act that you can think of that any one of us is not capable of. Every single one of us, depraved in nature, conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, and die in sin, but for the grace of God intervening, breaking in, and saving and changing by the power of God's Spirit, bringing you to a conviction of your sin, bringing you to that place of mourning, weeping, brokenheartedness because of your lawless deeds, because of your wickedness of nature and your deeds. Conviction. He's the one who brings conviction of sin. Without him, I can tell you about your sin. I can list them for you if you like. I can remind you of your depravities and your expression of your depravities. But friends, only God Himself, only God the Holy Spirit can convict you, bring you to a serious conviction and awareness of your sin and your need of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You need Him more, I tell you, than you need to breathe. Were you convicted of your sin? Were you convicted of the reality of it and the consequences of it? I tell you, you would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ, because nobody else can save you. Nobody else but He who shed His blood on the cross, He whom the Spirit of God would send you to, point you to, show you, enlighten you as to the realities of Jesus Christ and the salvation that He has procured for sinners. He's the executive power. And only He can bring this about in you. Conviction of sin, of righteousness. Righteousness. The righteousness of God, that is. That you need to be found in that day when God judges you. Because as the day coming, you're going to stand before your Maker. Believe or not, you're going to stand before your Maker and your Judge. And He, my friends, will hold you to account for everything you ever thought, you ever spoke, you ever did. Even for your very nature that you had inherited from your parents and the guilt attached to it. You need to be found trusting not in your own righteousness. Because your own righteousness is, your best deeds are filthy rags, says God in His sight. No, you need to be found trusting in the righteousness of another. The righteousness that God Himself has produced and provided. And a righteousness, a perfect righteousness, that is obtained through faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone, apart from works, any works, religious or otherwise. Faith and faith alone, trust in Christ and Christ alone. He is the righteousness of God. It's Him that you need, and Him that the Spirit of God would point you to. Jesus. Even Jesus, the righteousness of God. He convicts of sin, of righteousness. Convicts a person of their need of the righteousness of God. Convicts a person of judgment. The judgment of God, which is already a reality amongst you. All over you like a rash. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Friends, God, oh yes, God is love, but God is angry with the wicked every day. Because He is love, show me a person who never gets angry with wickedness, and I'll show you a person who does not love. He's angry with the wicked every day because He is the God of love. He loves righteousness. He loves holiness. He loves purity. He hates unrighteousness. He hates workers of iniquity. Oh yes. Oh yes. God is love. But in that love, God is angry with the wicked every day, don't you think? Don't you think it's time somebody got angry with the wicked? Don't you think it's time somebody did? Don't you sometimes get angry with your kids when they're involved in wickedness? Does that mean you don't love them? Of course it doesn't. Because you love them, you're angry with them when they're involved in wickedness. Show me a parent who's never angry with his children, and I'll show you a parent who doesn't love his children. Only the Holy Ghost, only God the Holy Spirit can convict you of the reality of the present judgment of God. But then the judgment to come, the big one, all the judgments of God replete in the Bible, Noah's Day, Sodom and Gomorrah, all the judgments that you read of in the Bible point to the big one, the final one, when God will judge the quick and the dead, when God will judge all men. We must all appear before the judgment throne of God. Oh, I can tell you, I can warn you, I can bid you flee from the wrath to come, but you take no notice. You just laugh it off. You just sneer and you just walk on by in your unbelief. Why? Because you're not convicted. And I can't convict you of the reality of God's judgment day. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only God's Spirit can do that. The executive power of God, but that's what He does. With those, that is, whom God chooses to save, whom God chooses to bring out of the swamp of the garbage of human sin and wash them and make them clean and save them, forgive them and give them eternal life. He does that. He convicts them of sin, righteousness and judgment and brings them, enlightens them to see what the natural man cannot see, blind. Blindness of mind, unable to see, discern the things concerning the Spirit of God. He alone knows the depths of God's being, knows the depths of the kingdom of God, and He alone can enlighten you. Why ye must be born again, why He must come, why He must breathe upon your soul, why He must breathe life into you first and foremost, why He must bring you to that place of being able to see. One of the things, or one of the classes of people that Jesus came for, to give eyesight to the blind. Well, how are the blind made to see? All you here today, blind men, now you haven't got white sticks. You can see physically, but you can't see spiritually and morally. You can't see the kingdom of God. You've never been born again. Unless you're born again, the day will come when you will wish, I tell you, you'd never been born at all. Unless you are, by the Spirit of God, reborn, enlightened, to see. to see, to understand, to perceive the things that pertain to the kingdom of God and God's salvation. But then he's called in the Bible, the Holy Ghost, he's called the Spirit of Faith. He's the one who gives faith. He's the one who installs faith. You can no more believe for yourself as you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces. I tell you to believe, you say no. I tell you to believe, you say I cannot. Of course you cannot. You haven't got the will, you haven't got the power, the strength, you haven't got the ability to believe. Impossible. That takes a miracle. God Himself, the Spirit of God, that is, He must implant, He must install the faith in you. Who hath believed our report, the prophet in the Old Testament says? Only those to whom the Spirit of God has revealed the things of God to. They alone believe. They alone are saved. Unless He, the Sovereign Spirit of God, I tell you, enlightens you, installs, implants in you the precious gift of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that brings salvation to the soul. Well, I have to tell you, you will all likewise perish. Because without that faith, you cannot be saved. You might have a lot of things, you know. You might be classed as a very morally respectable, upright, and maybe even religious and church-going person, but still blind. Still blind in your mind. Still blind to the reality of God and of your sin and of the judgment to come upon you. Blind. Blinded by the God of this age, who holds you in His snare, and the only the mighty Jesus can set you free from His trap. Only the Spirit of God can enlighten you, empower you, enable you to believe and be free. Faith, you see, that's the thing that's required of you. And He, the Holy Ghost, He is the one who works faith in a person. It's given of Him. He alone must give it, and He gives it to men and women through the proclamation, the preaching of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is worked in the souls of men and women by the executive power of God, the Holy Ghost. Born of the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Where He's not, there is nothing but bondage. Liberty, freedom that is, from the chains, from your addictions, from the plague of sin poured out upon you as a result of your apostasy from God. Only the mighty Spirit of God can break the chain and set you free. Set you free. Liberate you from the judgment of God, the judgment that lies and that hangs upon you. Oh, dear friends, one way, and one way only back to God, through the... What? Well, because of you. Look at you, 1 foot in the grave, huh? And still in your wicked unbelief. Repent, believe the gospel. Friends, one way only, back to God from sin's dark path. Faith towards the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith and repentance, they go together. Don't you know? They're like Siamese twins. You cannot separate them. If you do, you bring nothing but death. You kill both the children. Well, repentance and faith are the same. Repentance is always unto faith. Person who believes is a person who repents. And a person who repents is a person who believes. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. He will show mercy, abundantly pardon. Mercy, all mercy there is. The very heart of the gospel, even for broken old men, objecting to God and objecting to the gospel. Look at you, man. Look at you. Get on your knees and cry out to God. They'd have mercy on your soul, your wicked soul. Oh, dear friends, there's a way back to God. The heart of the gospel, there is forgiveness with God. There is a way in the mercy, in the grace, kindness, mere grace and love of God. There's a way back. But that way has to be taken. That way has to be applied to you by the power, God's executive power, the power of God's Spirit, installing faith in you, bringing you to that place of believing, of trusting emphatically, particularly, and fully upon Jesus Christ and no other, and in nothing else. Nothing of you, nothing that you can do, none of your activities, but trusting in Jesus Christ and trusting in what He has done, accomplished, and that alone. Nothing else brings salvation. You add anything to it, popery, priestcraft, you add anything to it, your supposed good works, add anything to it, and you destroy it. The gospel, the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. His work, His person, His work. He's the one whom you must believe and be found believing and trusting in that day when God judges you, and He will. And He will. So I call upon you today, command you today, as does God in the Holy Scriptures. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, says Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Stafford. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself and see that they are so according to God's word, that through the reading, meditating upon the Word of God, who knows, but God's Spirit may enlighten the page and enlighten your mind for you and give you understanding of God's book. Until He does, it's a sealed book. He alone can reveal the things of God to you. But you like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. You'd like one, come and